I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Warning. You're about to enter the arena and join the battle to save America with your host, John Parnell.
What is up, Battle Crew? What is up, America? It is a great day to be an American. And from sea to shining sea and everybody in between, welcome, Patriots. Let's get in the arena. Before I jump into the show rundown, I've got to tell you all something. It's been kind of insane the last couple of weeks. Since the show has been growing so much, and we got added to Rush Limbaugh's RSS feed, which is now occupied by the great and talented Clay Travis and Buck Sexton over on iHeart Radio. They've added us, our show, to their feed and gotten lots of listeners over there and new additions to the Battle Crew. Mostly people who listen to the show, like just listen to it while they walk or whatever. Anyway, the show's been growing and that's been amazing, but I've been having issues over the last couple of weeks with the studio and with, you know, the tech stuff. Now, for those of you who have been with the show since the beginning, the original gangster members of the Battle Crew, I've been doing the show for a long time, rarely, if ever, have issues. Now, if they happen, they happen. It happens with every single show, even professional television shows. But it was really nothing out of the ordinary. And then I started having fairly consistent issues with internet and power outages, and come to find out I had a technical specialist at the house here today looking at my system, looking at the studio. And we were informed that we suffered 880 cyber attacks on this show in 45 days. Just attacks that are so many successive attacks on the router and on the system that the router shuts down as a failsafe. And if it shuts down as a failsafe, it loses internet. If we lose internet, show goes down. 880. So if something like that happens today, just know now you know why. But just also know that we are working on a solution and we're going to have something for you very, very soon. And listen, to me, this just tells me, and I think it should tell you all as well, that we are over the target in a big way. We cover things on this show that most other shows get to 48 hours later. And the more conservative shows out there, the better. But when we talk about debates that are happening on the House floor, you don't see that reported by the mainstream media. You don't see it reported by the legacy media. I report on it because you all need to know what's happening as it's happening, not after something's already been passed. And so, I don't know, folks. I've always been a thorn in the side of Republicans and Democrats. I've always been against the surveillance state. I'm not saying that any of that is affecting the show. It could just be dorky kids with too much time on their hands that know more about this stuff than I do. I just wish that they knew that I, too, was a dork. We could probably share in some fun, watch Star Wars together, talk about the Force. I'm fine with all of that. Just don't cyber attack the show. But who knows what's going on? I look at it as like we're over the target. And I'm going to keep doing this show. I don't give a damn how many times, you know, we're taken down. I don't care. Come hell or high water, we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we're going to do this show, because this show is for you. It's for we the people, and it always will be. So let's jump right into the show. We've got on deck tonight and in the arena, the great Savage Rich Barris. I love how some of you all in the live chat have taken to calling Wednesdays Savage Rich Wednesdays. I'm totally cool with that. I'm here for it. I love it. And for those of you all who are new members of the Battle Crew, new listeners, Savage Rich Barris is the director of Big Data Poll. He's the host of Inside the Numbers. To me, I've run for office at a very high level twice. Many pollsters are just a complete joke. Rich Barris is not. He's the best in the business. He understands the data and the cultural moment that we're in better than anybody else. You should stick around for him, because every time he's on the show, we have a lot of fun, learn a lot. But also, we're going to talk about the Trump jury process in New York City. It's a mess. It's a threat to our freedom and liberty, and I'm going to tell you why. Trump was in Harlem, and it was absolutely off the charts, incredible. The elites, when we talk about the Uniparty, we're talking about the elites, Democrats, Republicans, party doesn't matter. They still don't get it, and I'm going to show you a soundbite that encapsulates why. I have got to talk about the woke CEO, new CEO of NPR, because it's a microcosm of everything that's wrong with the GOP right now. I'm just saying, this woman's insane. Where do you hear some of the things that she says? And Dr. Phil is out there just based and crushing it again. And we got to give credit where credit's due. He's doing awesome stuff. Let's jump right off the top rope. Let's get off the sidelines and into the fight here. I saw a headline today that kind of blew my mind. Because the Democrats are getting more aggressive and more brazen about their abuse of power, and their allies in the media are doing it as well. And the headline, this is from The Hill. So what I'm about to read you, both the headline and the actual tweet or post on X itself, is not from some far left activist, somebody with zero influence. It's from The Hill's White House reporter. Okay, so keep that in mind. This is a relatively mainstream publication, a reporter who sits in the press room in the White House. The headline, Dems bank on Trump trial boosting Biden, right? Which, like, you don't have to read between the lines to know what's going on there, right? The Democrats, the deep state, the blob, Biden, they always wanted lawfare, utilizing lawfare to hurt Trump and help Biden. That's not a surprise. We all knew that. The fact that this White House reporter is putting this in a headline, Dems bank on Trump trial boosting Biden, is a little on the nose, if you ask me. But this reporter, okay, his post on X said this: Democrats are hopeful that President Biden's freedom to hit the campaign trail while President Trump is stuck in New York courtroom for weeks, maybe months, gives his reelection campaign a jolt. Like, talk about saying the quiet part out loud. Like, they're talking about, like, I've said from the very beginning, along with anybody who knows what the hell they're talking about. And by the way, many pundits, many journalists, many reporters don't. They're establishment hack losers. They're a part of the machine. But anybody that's been paying attention knows that the Democrats are doing this to get Trump off of the campaign trail. And what's so fascinating about this is that of all of the lawfare cases against Trump, of all of them, Pudge Alvin Bragg's case in New York City, the Stormy Daniels hush money case, which I don't even like calling it that because I don't like using the left's language. But of all the cases, this one was the biggest joke. I mean, they're all a joke, but of a bunch of cases that are all pathetic, this one's the most pathetic. And I know that because Democrats freaked out when Pudge Alvin Bragg brought it in the first place. I mean, even Pudge didn't want to bring the case until Joe Biden sent one of his White House lawyers have him resign and come down and lead Pudge's legal team. That only then, once Biden had a hand in all this, did Pudge Alvin even decide to try this thing. So it's been interesting, to say the least, to watch the Democrats kind of flip-flop on this. Not just the Democrats, but their allies in the media now go all in on this case as if it's some like highly credentialed, rigorous case and on the criminality of a former president. I mean, really, it's a joke. We should shun the entire process. I mean, honestly, this is going to sound a little extreme, but you know, because if you're going to be the president of the United States and you're a guy like Trump and you're running for office, you can't, and they're calling you a dictator. I understand that it's a sensitive thing to kind of buck the system, say F you to the system that's trying you. But this is a sham trial operating outside the purview of the Constitution. DeSantis should come out like yesterday and say, you know what? I don't really care what the outcome of this trial is. It's rigged from the very beginning. We're not going to extradite Trump up to New York, even if he is convicted. He can stay here in Florida, come and get him, right? I mean, or if you're President Trump, being prohibited from going to Barron Trump, your son's graduation, it's a pretty evil, disgusting thing that this judge is doing to Trump. And this judge threatened Trump with jail time if he missed even a day of this trial, right? Well, I think Trump should call the bluff. See if this judge really has the cojones to put him in jail. Because I'm telling you right here, right now, folks, and this isn't just me saying it. James Carville has expressed concern about this. David Axelrod has expressed concern about this. Even Frank Luntz, he helps conservative. He's not conservative at all. He's the squishiest Republican in the history of the world, if he is. Even he has come out and said, if you put this guy in jail, if you push this too far, you will elect him president. But one of the most concerning things about all this, not to go on too long about this trial, but one of the most concerning things about all of this is the jury selection process. They're trying to weed out people for bias right now. And the problem is that in Manhattan, right? 90% plus Democrat there. And I think the issue that the court itself and the system is running into are true believer commies showing up for jury duty and lying to the court about whether or not they have a bias for Trump. And essentially, hardcore radical left communists lying and trying to get on the jury so they can convict the guy. Whereas if you are somebody that's just even has an ancillary connection to Trump, even or just had a Make America Great Again, you know, cover page on your Facebook page, you ain't getting on that jury, right? But you could be a hard left communist and by and large you are. And what's really interesting is that the judge himself couldn't even qualify for his own jury because he's too biased. So how the hell is somebody like Judge Mershon going to preside over this case if he doesn't even meet his own jury criteria? Riddle me that. But I want you to listen to this liberal juror who told the court that she couldn't be a juror because of work scheduling conflicts, not because of any sort of personal animus to Trump. Well, listen to this interview after the fact, because it sounds like she has a personal animus to Trump. Listen to this.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who was adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious and therefore made me angry. There are policies he has supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with. And I think all of that needs to be addressed.
All of that needs to be addressed. That woman, the only reason that psycho is not on this jury in New York City in this trial is because of a scheduling conflict. She lied. Said there was no bias against Trump. She lied. And again, think about how close it was. For, I mean, seriously, think about how close she came to being on that jury. Do you think that that woman in any way, regardless of the fact pattern presented at trial, is going to find Trump to be innocent? Of course not. Folks, you know this. I know this. The entire system is completely rigged. It's rotten to the core. But that is not stopping Trump. This guy was in Harlem yesterday. And again, this lawfare stuff is going to come back to bite the Dems because Trump is campaigning in places that no Republican president now would have ever campaigned before. And one of those places is Harlem. And this is directly from the Trump campaign. Listen to the response he got. Listen to this.
We love Trump.
We love Trump.
We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump.
So the guy just spent probably 12 hours in a courtroom dealing with a communist style trial and then leaves and is out there campaigning in Harlem, and organically a bunch of Black, Latino people show up. White kids show up. They're all white, Black, Latino. It doesn't matter. Their kids are there chanting, "We love you, Trump." Now, Biden was in his hometown of Scranton yesterday and couldn't draw more than 100 people. Biden, I mean, the guy barely alive. It's just amazing to me how Trump just does not stop. And so I've got Savage Rich here in the green room. I want to get his thoughts on this and a lot more.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Savage Rich Barris on deck. Let's get him in the arena. What is up, my friend? Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Living the dream, buddy. Sounds good. Looks good. Everything's working good. We're good.
I was on. So a couple things. I was on your show today and you witnessed I'm praying that it doesn't happen this go around. If it does, just stand by. I'll reboot the system and we'll come back on. But it happened on your show today. Everything just completely shut down for me.
Yeah. Actually, when you were telling me what you were experiencing, it sounded like somebody was, this has happened to us before and it's happened to many other people. I mean, you ran for Congress, for Senate, hell, I didn't even know you had a master's degree until today, even though but we've been talking so much. They're scared as hell of you, I'm sure. And, you know, you're going to be a target. It's sad. It's pathetic. It really is.
Like, yeah, you thought I was better a knuckle to do? Dragger. You thought I was a knuckle dragger. That's what this is all about. You thought I was just, I'm just a simple caveman with political opinions. No, I have a master's degree. I was in a clinical psychology PhD program.
This high
was
speed, low drag, time. Brother.
High speed, low drag. And also on your show today, and if you've got children around, just throw up a quick earmuffs. I did drop the word mangina. It happened.
And that's all right. The kid, he ran in the room right before you did, but she had him out so quick. But so he didn't hear it. But even if he did, he's like, four. I'm not sure, you know, even though he's in a parrot stage, I'm not sure he would not know what it means, but he would roll off his head, you know, right over the top of him.
You don't want little Savage Roman out there saying, like, you know, somebody comes to the door and him just saying,
"Hello, mangina."
Yeah, that's not, you don't want to have to explain that.
Although it would be one for the ages, wouldn't it?
It would be one for the ages. Okay, Rich, what do you think about this Pudge Alvin Bragg stuff? I mean, honestly, aren't those visuals of Trump in Harlem unbelievable?
They really are. And again, you know, we can go through the details of it, but I think, and we did talk about this a little bit on the show earlier, this is like people who of all walks of all, you know, all stripes, all creeds, that are in a socioeconomic position where they feel like the man is constantly against them, because he is. They are, right? The ruling class is not influenceable by, you know, it is not influenced by its people. There's not representative government anymore in this country, let's be real, which I'm sure we'll get into even more, especially on the one side of the aisle, which I'm not even sure is right versus, it's not right versus left anymore. It's them versus us. It's the ruling class versus the normies versus the privileged versus the not. And they have no way to fight back. And Trump is, they're doing to Trump. James Carville knows, man, he gets it. Like, whether you like this guy or not, he, look who he is, how he talks, where he comes from. He gets it. This is a guy who can walk through the backwoods of Appalachia, be perfectly fine. The swamps of Louisiana, be perfectly fine. And the ghettos of the South, and be perfectly fine. He, you know, this guy knows all different walks of life. He'll blend in. He's a freaking chameleon. He knows how to speak these people. All walks language. He knows you push this too far. Not only are you going to get beat, you're going to get drummed, because these people are not going to, you're not going to see them coming. And it's Trump's job to get them out. It could happen organically for sure. I would not rely on that. If it was me, I'd run, you know what, to the wall. Like, your life is at stake, because your life is at stake. You know, Mr. President, they will try to get you to spend the rest of your life, the rest of your natural life, in a jail cell. You'll go from Mar-a-Lago to bars if you don't, you know, and I totally expect you will, and they expect you will, and that's why they're trying to do what they can do to keep them off the campaign trail. Biden was a disaster in Scranton. Let's get real. He didn't even know he was from Scranton anymore, right? Because the story's changed so much. Who the hell knows where he's from? I'm from Delaware. I'm from Scranton. I don't know. Isn't this the town I'm supposed to be?
He was born in the Jewish community. He was born in the Black community.
He's for civil rights protesters. Got, you know, generations before us rejected Joe Biden because he was a fraud and because he's a liar. And he was found to be by a multiple, by the way, not one, but two generations of Americans to be unworthy of the presidency. Not just because of character, stuff like that. He's not competent enough to be president. Now here we have and he never was. And even Barack Obama thinks this. This isn't pollster Rich, you know, right-wing pollster Rich Barrett. This is Barack Obama didn't like him. Barack Obama sidelined him. He picked him because he had to. He sidelined him for Hillary Clinton, who both of those people, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, think Joe Biden is an idiot and not capable of being president. Everybody knows this. If it was Republicans, you would hear these stories all the time. But yeah, I mean, here we are now. They need to keep him in a courtroom, Sean, because he goes around and things like this happen organically. Imagine if he was free to spend his time with the people. My God.
It's so true. And so much, I am telling you, so much about whether or not somebody votes for you is like, did you meet him? Did you shake your hand? Did you look him in the eye? Did you talk?
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be, maybe not you, but many people would be shocked at how many people will vote for someone that they have an interaction with. And most of the time, sometimes it's just that simple. And here you have a former president of the United States, arguably the most famous man in the world. He's actually larger than I don't want to sound bad when I say he's larger than the office of the president, but he's larger than all these Democrat hoaxes and scandals that have been perpetrated on him. And then by default, the American people, because the Democrats have made him into almost a martyr and a man of the people in a way that I have never seen any other American politician, period, do what Trump did in Harlem. And you talked about, I mean, it's freaking Harlem, for God's sake. Can we just like take a step back and say it's Harlem? I mean, Sean, it's not exactly Republican territory, Rich.
Sean, I'll tell you, the last time I was in any of the five boroughs, It was years ago, but I was in Bed-Stuy, which is now, for people who don't know, a flat-out ghetto, most of the areas. They were pining for Rudy Giuliani to come back. I mean, this is just, it really is crazy why they were safer. They don't like Republicans. They don't even know the difference. If you told them, what are you? They would say, well, I guess I'm supposed to be a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. But when it comes to like localized elections or who do you know, who would you trust to do this? I'll tell you, you know, regardless of how the polls fluctuate, that who do you trust to do a better job here on this issue, on that issue? It's just a bloodbath on all the issues that matter right now. And even on issues Democrats thought they would have a lock on, they're very close. They're not, you know, so it's like the polls can swing back and forth a little bit, tighten, although Trump is very clearly, in the lead at this point. They could do that. But the fact of the matter is, as long as voters, and like you said, sometimes it really just takes a direct interaction. This is arguably the most famous man in the world. And yet he'll walk up to you in a McDonald's on the street or wherever and just, you know, hand you a smoothie or shake your hand or what. I mean, it's just crazy. Like most normal people would be like, did that really just happen? You know, that's never happened to me in my life. I've heard that actually, from people. So he's a different kind of politician. And, you know, when he was running for re-election, they kind of made him and pigeonholed him as a politician, and it's different now. You know, everything's just different now. I'm not even sure you can, if you're as a pollster, you can feel it in 16 the way you feel it now. You know, maybe in the final couple of weeks you could feel that real surge happening and whatnot, but nothing like this, Sean. This is very different.
Okay, so speaking of elites, listen to Katie Couric, and then I want to get your reaction.
And I feel like, to your point, Bill, that socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot, and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters, right? Or anti-establishment. Absolutely. Voters. So
Trump voters were with Savage Rich Barris, again, for our listeners. Best pollster in the business. He's on the show every Wednesday. It's Trump voters who are anti-intellectual. It's Trump voters that are stupid. It's Trump voters that are anti. It's just like, you see how these elites talk. It's just insulting to me, Rich. It's insulting. They still just don't get it.
You know, they're very clearly trying the same playbook in a different time. So Hillary Clinton had tried it. It was certainly a different time than the environment we would see in 2020. They did it in 2020, but you know, there was a great article in the LA Times, which you won't hear me say often. And basically what they said was, and it was a liberal writing it, the shine, what I have been saying for a while, the shine is off Joe Biden. The man, despite what the poll said, the man won by, depending on the state, because now the census changed the Electoral College, but let's call it 45. Let's put the difference and call it 50, because some people say 40 and change. Some people say 60 and change. The Electoral College is different now, so I guess you're really looking more on the low end of that. Let's split the difference and say you won by 50,000 votes with a double-digit positive favorability rating and an opponent with a supposedly double-digit negative favorability rating. The shine is off Joe Biden now, and all there is the memory of the two men's presidencies. And there was an interesting poll. Yeah, it was sponsored by the Heritage Foundation. So what? Who sponsors Franklin and Marshall over there in Pennsylvania? I'm so sick of hearing this. They suck. They haven't polled an election correctly in like 20 years. Who's funding their polls? You know, who gives them their grants? How many right-wing conservatives are funding Franklin and Marshall? Out of here. Anyway, it's a Heritage poll, but it was conducted by Patrick Ruffini, you know, over at Echelon Insights. People know who he is. I mean, really, and he's not been that favorable to Trump in the totality of his polling history since Donald Trump, you know, the advent of Trumpism. So I think it's fair to look at it. You know, looked at the battleground states, and Sean, it was bad, period, among swing voters in these battleground states. It was awful. And Patrick asked people, what do you think in retrospect? What do you think? Do you approve or disapprove of each of these two men's presidencies? Biden was negative 18. Trump was positive 1 across 6 battleground states. I think all of a few he lost. I got to go back and look and see which one they are. But Nevada, Georgia, so yeah, he lost those. Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, supposedly lost all 3 of those. And I believe Arizona, so yes, he lost all of these battleground states. And Biden had a 1-point lead in Wisconsin, which didn't even look good. Because when you ask people to lean or say, I'm definitely voting for him, or you probably voting for him, Trump was gaining when you added probably. So, I mean, that's a bad sign. For it means that the candidate who's ahead with the definite is probably close to at his ceiling, where, hey, Winston, probably close to at his ceiling. And the candidate who's getting more of those leans is probably going to surge ahead of you when all those votes are counted. You done? He wants to say hello.
Winston's like, Joe Biden sucks.
Yeah, that's Joe what that Biden was. Sucks. That was Let's Go Brandon. You couldn't hear? Come here, buddy. Come here. Come see you're screaming Rich, on the show.
Back now with Savage Rich Barris, the best pollster in the business and the director of Big Data Poll. Rich, welcome back. Savage Winston, is he fired up still?
You know, I can't even yell at him. He had to go out. What are you going to tell the dog? He's doing what he's supposed to do. You know, hey, buddy, let me out. Open this door. Or it's going to be a problem.
So this new CEO of NPR, I wasn't going to cover her. She's a woke lunatic. What's amazing to me is that, like, we talked about suburban voters last week, suburban women, and how Republicans spend far too much time trying to go after them. I mean, obviously you want to win every vote that you can. I'm not saying you discard them. You don't try to earn everyone. I know that Republicans who are watching this are probably going to be like, what's she talking about? Like, of course we want them in our movement, but most of them are like this woman. I can't, it's going to be hard to bring them back.
Play the clip.
Yeah, I just had a phone conversation with somebody about this today. I'm like, we're spending far too much time. Well, let's get them if we can, but it's real difficult to flip. And they will be real difficult to flip. And there's a soundbite that I want you to hear that I think encapsulates why. And then we'll talk about it, because I think this conversation will lead me to a larger point about Speaker Johnson and the Republicans that we have in power right now. So that's kind of just give you a sense of where I'm going with this. But listen to this crazy woman.
We took a very active approach to disinformation and misinformation coming into not just the last election, but also looking at how we supported our editing community in an unprecedented moment where we were not only dealing with a global pandemic, we were dealing with a novel virus, which by definition means we knew nothing about it in real time, and we're trying to figure it out as the pandemic went along. And so we really set up in response to both the pandemic, but also in response to the upcoming US election, and as a model for future elections outside of the US, including a number that are happening this year, obviously went through yet another Israeli election. The model was around how do we create sort of a clearinghouse of information that brings the institution of the Wikimedia Foundation with the editing community in order to be able to identify threats early on through conversations with government, of course, as well as other platform operators to understand sort of what the landscape looks like.
Okay, so two things here, Rich. She's talking about she's talking about her time as CEO of Wikipedia. She's now the CEO of NPR. Now, listen, she's talking about censoring information as it pertains to COVID, right?
She is.
And censoring information as it pertains to the 2020 election. Interesting that it's just the two most contentious issues of our time that the vast majority of conservatives have real questions about, right? So there's that. Also in the same interview, but not in that video clip, she says the First Amendment is a real problem. Okay, so there's that. And then listen to this TED talk that she gave where she's talking about the truth. It's insane. Just listen to this.
The hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion. Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist, nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world.
So you see where she's going, right?
Absolutely.
It's like the truth she said in that clip.
Completely contradicted to there are two worldviews that she just tried to express because she wants, what she's doing there, folks, is trying to appeal to everyone, giving something, a little bit of something for everyone so that she can convince you what she's saying is correct. But when you really listen, what she just gave was dueling worldviews that are diametrically opposed to each other. There is truth, but is there? And is the, you know, there are many truths often? No, there is the truth. There right. is absolute truth. And let me just, I should have prefaced all of that with Wikipedia is trash. Even the co-founder, for those who have never seen it, they should go to Glenn Greenwald when they have some time late at night and they're just getting ready for bed. It's a long interview with one of the co-founders of Wikipedia. Wait until you see what he has to say about that woman and other people like her who co-opted his baby and what it was supposed to be and what it has come to be now. All right. There's a reason why, and anyone who's forget about it. I mean, I don't even think to take Wikipedia as a source in high school, let alone in college. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia is garbage. We're not talking about an online version of Encyclopedia Britannica here. That was the truth. We're talking about an online piece of propaganda who smears and ruins people. The lies that I have caught Wikipedia in, the stuff they have done to people that I know personally, the misinformation that is all over their pages. And it's not because some right-wing nutcase hit the edit button. It's because of what they have done and how they have changed their model. It's unbelievable. Wikipedia is garbage. Nobody should ever use Wikipedia, ever, because you don't really know whether or not those sources... So the sources are listed. Are you clicking on the sources to see whether or not the author of Wikipedia, the editor, is actually relaying what that source said properly? Because I can tell you, I have, and multiple times, easily, it will happen frequently to you. What Wikipedia relays to you is not what is in the source, the citation, the source citation that you see at the footnote of the page. It's trash. And this is why that woman... I got to say this, though, to give people a little bit of, you know, hope. She doesn't represent all the women in her demographic. You know, correct. She doesn't. She is a fanatic. And now she's head of NPR, which is
Rich. Insane. Listen. She is the head of NPR.
A fanatic.
She said in that TED Talk, the truth is a distraction, which is essentially getting in the way of getting things done.
That's right.
Now she's the CEO of NPR. So what does that tell you about the perspective of the legacy media, that they're not exactly in the truth telling, in the truth telling business, but rather they're in the narrative pushing business. That's all they care about.
And John, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go. Please.
I was just going to say, and I mean, in even in the first clip you played, which I want to just revisit something from, what she said, for this is a person talking about truth, is insane. What she said about COVID was factually incorrect. And those of us who were data journalists, anybody who, you know, has any kind of, skills in statistics, or maybe you're looking at burden estimates, which we used to do, track not just for COVID, before COVID, we used to track flu, burden estimates for the flu, for pneumonia, for RSV. It's not true to categorize coronavirus, this strand of coronavirus, as novel for multiple reasons. We know from Southeast Asia there had been a wealth of literature on SARS virus. So for people who don't know, it means severe acute respiratory syndrome. And we know a lot about them. We have a ton of information from prior pandemics in Southeast Asia. We knew it wasn't the right call to lock everything down and make everyone go to a grocery store. Yes, there was some debate over public transportation, but having people locked in home, you know, in close confined quarters over long periods of time was always what data showed would be leading to higher infection rates. And then also, we knew not to close schools. It's not like the flu. It's not like a petri dish, like the kids are a petri dish. It was always very, you know, I'm being careful with my words here, but there are things more dangerous to young children than coronavirus.
Rich, this is a perfect segue. Listen, I'm going to put this up on the screen and I'll pause this and you can keep going. Yeah. But listen to Dr.
This COVID hit. It was pretty frenetic spot on for everybody.
Here, Rich, listen.
In the beginning, nobody knew what was going on. And when they said, we're going to take a time out here, we're going to ask everybody to really stay home, withdraw, shut the door, and that's going to slow the roll. That's going to slow this thing down. You remember that? And then all of a sudden, a few weeks turn into months, and months turn into 2 years. You expect there to be a plan, a readiness plan, that takes into account all the collateral damage that can come from doing something like that. And then you start seeing all of these problems and you hear people say, well, we did the best we could with what we knew. No, they did not.
Amen.
They knew better. And if they didn't know better, they damn well should have known better. That's what they're paid to do.
Mm-hmm. But they did know better, Sean. They did. There's a playbook for SARS-related viruses. Oh, the only thing novel about this was the origin of it. Everybody knew it was a SARS-related virus. Everybody knew that. The only question was, why are you lying to us about it coming from a wet market in Wuhan? You lied because of where it came. It was an engineered virus. And you know what? People from who work at Pfizer, you know, if you're watching the show, I'm talking about you right now. You should have the balls to come out and tell the world what it is you found when you were trying to deconstruct this virus and create a vaccine for it. Since you tried the antigen method first and it didn't work for a reason, you should have the cojones to come out and tell everyone the truth. They knew, they lied. The State Department, when Donald Trump was still president, knew where the damn virus came from. They tried chopping it out to the Washington Post, to the New York Times, to everybody. They didn't touch it. They didn't bite. Only when Joe Biden was president did a little bit leak out about where the origin of the virus was. That's really the only thing novel about it. I mean, honestly, yes, it ended up being more deadly for a certain group of people, but we have a playbook for SARS-related viruses. They threw it out. They tossed it out. And those who I do blame to some extent, the politicians, including the president, but I credit him for being the first person to begin to turn on Fauci. That includes every governor who wanted to run for president. That includes every senator who still wants to run for president. You were all talking about shutting beaches and keeping schools closed when Donald Trump was saying the cure cannot be worse than the disease. People That's right. are allowed to celebrate Easter. I was there. I remember. And I lived in one of these states, which is a big deal that we heard so much about it. In Florida, the beaches were closed. The supported businesses were closed. Two of the biggest ones statewide were closed through executive order. But I blame them somewhat, but they should have known as Republicans that people in white lab coats are just as corrupt and just as scummy and lie and cheat and steal just like the rest of us. And they should never have listened to them. They listened to the people in the white lab coats when they told the world that OxyContin was less addictive. That was a lie. They got it through because they stuffed the pockets of some FDA schmuck who ended up working for Purdue Pharma 6 months later anyway. So if that didn't teach you a lesson, I don't know what will. You know, Sean, I mean, nobody is so smart. They can't take the time to explain to you why shutting down commerce for the first time in human history is the right call.
That's exactly that's
the attitude they had. And Fauci went on TV and said, you know, you can deal with a little bit of inconvenient economics or inconvenient economically.
Oh, yeah, wear your mask, wear two masks, wear
five. After he said, don't wear masks because you're too stupid to know how to wear a mask. Remember that? Yes. We need the PPE for people who aren't dumb and know how to wear a mask. I mean, you know, and then we had the model from the UK. That guy has been talking about strains of flu that will kill 20 million people in 2 weeks. He's been talking about that for his entire career. Why we would listen to a scumbag fanatic like that is just unbelievable. And with the Imperial study, they scared the shit out of Donald Trump. They told him they're going to kill your voters, Mr. President. This is going to kill your voters. That's why he went along with it as long as he did.
Here's why this is so important, what Dr. Phil is doing. First of all, I don't give a damn what his politics are. I don't know what they are. I don't care.
Me either. But
this country, Rich, desperately needs leaders to stand like up that. And push back against the bullshit narratives. We have been lied to for so long in this country, going back as long as I can remember, almost as long as I've been alive. Certainly since Trump came down that escalator. Chances are long before that. Okay.
Dr. Bettichera, Dr. Yeah, Peter McCullough, absolutely. Dr. Malone. They God bless all of you.
Yeah. Dr. Phil, for God's sake. Now, he's a mainstream guy on Oprah, said, you know, hey, well, basically, we can't do this. We can't, you know, we really shouldn't be locking down our children. Damn, people went after him. People, I mean, he was almost kicked off the air. And then this whole idea, Rich, you know, this didn't intend to go down a COVID path to show, but let's go with it. But like the idea that somehow the government owns science TM,
right?
Like they branded science. This is the kind of stuff, Rich, that makes Joseph Stalin's ghost jealous from wherever the hell he's burning. Because it's like, what is happening in this country with these institutions like the CDC and the Health and Human Services, now the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, even now the military to a certain extent, the Democrats in the deep state have destroyed faith in these institutions that will take a generation or more to recover. Not just that, in the justice system with the lawfare and going after Trump, nobody's going to believe the system anymore. Nobody's going to believe the jury selection process. Nobody's going to believe that it's legit. It's all complete bullshit. The Democrats have completely destroyed it. So it's important for people like Dr. Phil to use his insanely big platform.
Yep.
It's Dr. Phil, right? I mean, I'm just saying like,
but that's how you
shift perspectives. That's how you shift perspectives. That's how you win the culture. So what he's doing is important. The next step is holding people accountable, so that trust can be reestablished. And like, this brings me to my point about Republicans, and this links back to the thing with NPR and then talking about Dr. Phil. Now, Republicans have done nothing. They have done less than nothing since having the majority in the House. They've actually joined with Democrats more often than actually pushing Republican issues. Speaker Johnson, I'm sorry. God bless the guy. He's been a disaster. He's been a more effective speaker for the Democrats than any Democrat speaker could actually be, because then at least there's political cover of bipartisanship when he's a speaker. He's been a disaster. There's not been a single damn whisper, except for, I mean, honestly, anybody but Rand Paul. He's the only one still talking about accountability for Fauci. But if there's not accountability, because in this country, there's a craving for accountability. You're held accountable for your actions. We all are, you know? So government employees should be held to the same standard. If there's no accountability, Rich, I simply don't see how we right the ship. And I mean it. I'm not trying to be crazy here.
Yeah.
No one will ever trust these systems again unless people are held accountable for these horrible abuses.
Yeah, you lose what's called regime credibility. I mean, this is there's an actual term for this, and people who study this and know what I'm talking about. I had to deal with all this boring stuff while in college myself. And once you lose that, I mean, that's when civil society just starts to completely break apart. You know, people start disobeying in various ways. And then the state's only recourse is to use force to try to get people back in line. And I think we're actually seeing some of that right now. When you're looking at what's going on, you know, you have judges in D.C. and Jack Smith and other prosecutors saying basically, if the Supreme Court overturns or throws out these charges, you know, obstruction of official proceeding, then we're just going to slap more draconian right. sentences on other unrelated crimes that we're using that charge to substantiate. I mean, this is insane. But then where does that go? You think one side backs down? They don't. It escalates. We go back and forth until we start killing each other. And that's the way it goes, because America is not going to be exempt from the laws of nature and nature's God and the all timeline of human history and civilization. Guess what? We're special, but not for those reasons. We're exceptional, but not for those reasons. We're exceptional because we recognize certain absolute truths that woman doesn't believe in anymore. And we're abandoning those absolute truths, and that we're getting what's coming to us. I don't know how we right the ship either. I keep telling people the election of one man, and I said this in 16, the election of one man, a revolution does not make. If you do not replace the vast majority of these people in Congress, right? And I'm not trying to name drop here, but I'm saying, like, if John O'Shea does not win the special election in Texas 12, you are going to have a traitor in an R plus 25 district in Texas. Replace Kay Granger, who was also a traitor, who Donald Trump endorsed in exchange for her support when they were going to impeach him again for the second time. And guess what? She got her endorsement. She got a re-election. She was able to beat back a very serious challenger who was going to win. Chris Putnam would have beat her if Trump didn't get involved. And what happened in exchange? She ran home and faked being sick when he needed her help on the impeachment. Folks, Republicans are not an effective countervailing force in this country. We've been talking about this a lot in my book club and on Locals. They are not an effective countervailing force as a political party, you know, in this country against Democrats and the other side. So what does that mean? It means if this continues, it doesn't matter who the hell you elect president. Slowly but surely, you're going to lose because they keep advancing and you keep retreating. You may not recognize it because maybe they're baby steps, but you are retreating. And Johnson, I hate to do this, but once in a while, you have to throw it in people's faces. Sean, you're maybe a little bit more modest than me. I am not. So I'm about to drop this shit. We told you so.
Wait.
We told you so.
Kevin McCarthy
would have been too afraid to do this. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was hold that thought. Rich, you don't have ever have to apologize for being savage.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I pulled this soundbite of Speaker Johnson because it just, honestly, man, I just think it's kind of pathetic. It's like, get a grip, man. But listen to this, and then we'll talk about Speaker Johnson.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment that we're in right now. He said, arguably, maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
I mean, are you kidding me? A wartime speaker?
Syndrome.
Like, Rich, he's not talking about, you know, a wartime speaker like the war, the invasion at our southern border. He's talking about Ukraine. He's talking about what's going on in Israel. He's talking about nations that aren't ours, first of all. But second of all, he's saying it's the most difficult time in American history, maybe even more so than the Civil War. You have got, I'm sorry, man, get a grip. That's ridiculous. I am not a fan of the one person motion to vacate. I'm just not. It's almost impossible to lead like that. But Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey are like, hey, look, Massey said he's co-sponsoring Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate. But I'm here to tell you, Rich, it ain't going to happen. Do you know why it ain't going to happen? Because Democrats aren't going to vote for it. They are getting everything that they want from Speaker Johnson. He has done an absolutely pathetic job. What do you think of all this?
I told you I thought that Mike Johnson was a better voter than he was a speaker. I told people at the time, it sounds great to get rid of Kevin McCarthy, and I understand that you are upset. I understand. I talk to the right every night almost on the phone. You know, I speak to the left and the right on the phone every day. I know what everyone's thinking, and I understood their grievance. That being said, you didn't have a plan. You didn't have a strategy. You didn't have a vision for the future. You never pull the trigger before you know how you think the battle's going to go. And that's exactly what Matt Gaetz and the rest of them did. They pulled the trigger, and they had no idea where the hell that bullet was even headed, let alone what would come back in retaliation from it. And now here we are. Mike Johnson, let me just say this. I'm not a big guy. I know when a little man is trying to make himself look bigger than he is, okay? I know when a little man is trying to make himself look more important than he is. You're not freaking Winston Churchill, bro, all right? You're not Abraham Lincoln. You can't even stop the invasion at the southern border. You're going to stop freaking what? The disunity of the United States? You are not even mid, bro. Not even mid for the kids out there, all right?
That is a kid
badass excuse for a speaker. I'm sorry, and I never wanted to say this, but people know, watch my show, I like Mike Johnson. He's a blue-collar conservative, and he's where the Republican Party needs to go if they want to win more votes in the future, or he was anyway. I don't know what the hell happened to the Mike Johnson who used to spend his time figuring out policy that was for blue-collar families. You know, now he's just a tool of – this is what unfortunately happens. You get some guys who idealistically sound great. They even get there and they vote great and they do an okay job when they get there. And then you give them a little taste, bro. And they're like good meth addicts and they just lose their mind.
What did I tell you? I told you.
Go to bed, get off the meth binge, bro. Come back and see if you're sane after. I'm not like the metaphorical.
We talked about this months ago, Rich. We talked about this months ago. We had this exact same conversation, expressed caution about it. And I said to you on your show, I said, no Republican wants to be speaker because in 6 months you become the rhino of the century. And that's exactly what Speaker
Johnson did. Let Kevin do it.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, was too afraid. He did things behind Trump's back. He would never have worked with the Democrats to neuter Trump when he becomes president again. He wouldn't have, guys. I got news for you. He's too damn afraid. He let his donors go to Ron DeSantis. Behind his back, he tried to screw Donald Trump. But he would never have done something like this, bald-faced, two-faced, out in public. Like, he thinks he's hiding. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. And Kevin would have gotten a phone call. You would have heard, hold. This is the office of the president, Donald J. Trump. Hold, please. He would have shit, because you know what that call. Yeah. He would have shit his pants, and then he would have been, no, Mr. President, no, I'm not supporting that bill. I will not. I don't know where you heard that from. That's how that would have went.
You are 100% right. I do. Because listen, Kevin McCarthy is a California conservative, which means in essence, he's not a conservative. But he wanted to be speaker. he knew where all the bodies were buried in DC. He's a swamp creature of the highest order, which I, again, people that listen to my show know that if you're a conservative, you want a swamp creature as your speaker. You want somebody with a ton of institutional knowledge that is ruthless. Kevin McCarthy, here's the thing about Kevin McCarthy. Was he a squish? Absolutely. Am I defending him? No. But he cared a lot about what the base thought of him. Yeah. And he would call Trump. He would call Trump's advisors and say, hey, look, like, am I okay to like push this? Are we good here? Is the MAGA base going to revolt against me? He at least communicated. The reason why this isn't happening with Speaker Johnson, and he's a far worse speaker, is because he has a set of conservative bona fides. Like, conservatives are like, well, Speaker, I like the guy. He's been conservative his whole career.
It's way worse.
And the media ain't writing about it. And actually what they're writing about is, hey, look at this bipartisanship work. All these MAGA extremists that are standing against Mike Johnson, he's a MAGA guy too, but at least he has it in his heart to work in this bipartisan way. And of course, we know bipartisan is code for like things like the Lankford bill. Yeah, 5,000 illegal invaders a day. That's not bipartisan. That's a disaster.
Anytime you hear the word bipartisan or cooperation, folks, or, you know, compromise, you're getting screwed. When they say compromise, they mean they're going to come together to make sure that the interests of both sides in the swamp are fulfilled. You are getting screwed. And I will say this, in the beginning, you started off all right, and it looked like it might be okay, but it turned out, and I would have loved to be wrong, but it turned out exactly how we said it was going to turn out. All you're going to do is take a very good voter and destroy him. And that's it. You're somebody with a good vote record and destroy him. Kevin McCarthy at least picked up the phone and called. Folks, you guys don't know this because I'm sure people don't, you know, you're not going to hear every conversation. He picked up the phone and he would say, hey, are you going to beat me up over this if I do this?
Exactly.
He would do that. Not just the president. I'm talking about influencers, guys. Influencers.
I know.
He would say, Mike, am I going to be 60 minutes on Inside the Numbers getting the shit kicked out of me if I don't kill this immigration bill? Yes, you will. Okay, I'm going to kill this immigration bill. So he had no ideological core, but in a way that was kind of good. And he was no Paul Ryan. He was no, because Paul Ryan didn't give a damn about what the base thought about him. He looked right into Sean Hannity's eyes and said, we got a plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. There was no plan. Let me let you in all on the open secret. There was no plan. They had no, there was a plan, sure, with the Tuesday committee. There was a plan with the Freedom Caucus. There was a plan at the White House, but there was no Republican plan. And they couldn't put it all together and have anything that resembled what they had promised for 7 years. With Johnson, he's like a little bit of a mix of Paul Ryan, where he doesn't seem to care. And also, I hate to say it at this point, but it's like, you play the clip again and look at the guy's face. I mean, you don't have to, but guys,
I'll play back here. Watch. You want me to play?
He thinks he's bigger than he is. He thinks he's in the moment.
Here, watch.
He's lost it. He's lost it.
We'll play it. Watch one more time.
Look, we are in unprecedented times. Okay, we're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here around the world and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment that we're in right now. He said arguably maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
You need me. This is a tough times.
We live at a time that's just as bad as the Civil War, maybe worse. At a time where brother fought brother and 600,000 Americans are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's histrionic, insane bullshit.
Such a good word. The same kind of histrionic bullshit you're going to get from the White House when they come out and they say that the January 6th attack was the worst attack in the country since, like, right. You know, dude, this isn't Vicksburg. Are you nuts? You are not only not that big of a man, you are wildly pathetic, because you would never have been able to rise to the occasion that those men rose to. You can't even rise to the occasion of shutting the border and stopping hundreds of thousands, if not millions over the years, fentanyl deaths and other illicit drug deaths that come pouring across the border, because you can't shut it, because you'd rather have Juanita fold your speaker pants at night than have the country safe. You're talking about Ukraine as if it's a freaking democracy. Ukraine is a tyranny. An absolute disgusting filth, scum of the earth, tyrannical government and regime. It's from a region of the world where there are no good guys. We shouldn't be championing anybody and doing anything but watching our own butt and making sure our own families are safe, our own friends are safe, our own fellow Americans are safe, and also have the opportunity to prosper. He puts himself in the same category with Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich reined in a popular Democratic president and made sure that the budget was balanced. Inflation wasn't up everyone's ass during Newt Gingrich like it is now, because you don't have the balls to stop Joe Biden and the Democrats from spending. I mean, unbelievable level of hubris in this country today. And apparently it can seep into anybody, especially anyone in that town, where you just think you're something, bro. You are what the country needs today. No, you are a failure, and you have failed unlike anything that prior generations you could point back to and say, oh, at least I wasn't as bad as that guy. You compare yourself to Newt Gingrich, the audacity. And I'm not a huge Newt fan. I mean, this is coming from a guy who, like, loved the book Tell Newt to Shut Up, you know? I mean, because I feel like Newt did what he had to do, but he also didn't dismantle it before he left. So Nancy Pelosi became, like, you know, almost like a queen with a gavel. You know, that was the template. She ran the House the way Newt Gingrich ran the House. He gave her the tools to do it. But still, I mean, that's nothing compared to you think Newt Gingrich would have dealt with this? Trillions of dollars every 3 months, Sean. No. Every 3 months, what's being added to the national debt? Every 90, not even 300 days. Okay, I'll be fair. Every 100 days, come on. Speaker Johnson's going to be known as the guy who couldn't stop the debt bomb because he didn't have the nuts. And when we look back on austerity that comes to this country and hurts everyone at a level, you think inflation is bad now, you think the pain is bad now. Wait till that debt bomb goes off. People like Speaker Johnson, we're going to look back on and we're going to say, shame on you.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I know for a fact how you feel about this. And we don't like bashing Republicans on our show. I mean, it's like we get it. Like, we'd rather be directing our ire at the Democrats, and the vast majority of the time we do. But you're right. Sometimes you just have to call out the bullshit on your own side.
Spade's a spade, bro.
You have to do it. And this is one of those times, Rich. And so tell everyone where they can find you and how they can support you.
Yeah, we're everywhere, Sean. But the best place to follow me is on Locals, peoplespundit.locals.com. That's the best place. You know, we're on Twitter, Getter Truth. I air on Rumble. You can watch it on your TV through the Locals app or Amazon app. But best place to just learn all that is on Locals, peoplespundit.locals.com. Sign up, become a supporter later if you want, but what's important is to sign up and follow what we're doing over there.
Awesome, Rich. As always, love having you, man. See you next week, brother, okay?
Anytime. See you soon, brother.
All right, see you, Rich. Take care. That was Savage Rich Barris, the best pollster in the business, and he really is. And listen, speaking of Locals, I'm on Locals now. Commander Melanie posts over there all the time now. I post over there all the time now. Yeah, become a supporter, great, but just go follow over there, because we're putting, rather than put stuff on Facebook and stuff, which just censors me into oblivion, we're putting stuff on Locals, just exclusive stuff that you won't see here on the show, extra content, family stuff, survival stuff, shooting stuff, gardening stuff, all that stuff is going to be on Locals, and we're posting over there regularly. So go over there and just follow my Battleground Live page, become a member of the community. If you want to like subscribe, like we got paid subscribers too. I mean, it all helps. So go over there, search for us on Rumble and check us out there. Also, I want to give a shout out to the engaged few for the Rumble rant tip of $5. 100% of the proceeds of these tips goes to building the studio and making the show better. 100%. And so really appreciate that. This show is and will always be for you. It's for we the people. And I'm so grateful to have you all here. And I know I always get lots of questions about this shirt, emails, and after the show, the Do Not Comply shirt, you'll see here. Do Not Comply. Wear it to your favorite government building. You can get all of this at officialseanparnell.com. That's my website. Got all sorts of cool pro-America t-shirts on there. All five of my books are on there too. But if Do Not Comply shirt, people are always asking where they can get them. That's officialseanparnell.com. Also, tell your family and your friends to subscribe and follow Battleground Live. Okay. Follow Rich Barris on the People's Pundit as well. He's got an amazing show called Inside the Numbers. But family and friends, tell your loved ones, subscribe to Battleground Live. If you're new watching this show, subscribe to Battleground Live. We want you in the trenches and the fight to save this country. The week is wrapping up quick, folks. Before we pop smoke for the day, make sure that you smash that little green thumb beneath this video. Smash that like button. It helps propel us to the leaderboard. Every like that we get, the closer we get. So smash that like button. And as always, folks, thank you for sticking with me for a little over an hour tonight. Love having Savage Rich on. The show tomorrow is going to be great. Make sure that you stay with us tomorrow. Awesome stuff coming down the pike. As always, God bless you all. And God bless this amazing, exceptional country that we call home. Take care. Good night. And I will see you all tomorrow.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.